Jesus paid it all to him. White as snow.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I may know that Jesus is coming back. Thinking of this Sunday and speaking again about the end times. I recalled a song from many years ago that Betty and I used to sing and we enjoyed it. It's kind of a real country flavor song, country western. How many like country western? Okay. You can get your cowboy hats on and put cowboy boots on, whatever. Put a long straw in your mouth, whatever, some wheat. This is a nice song that kind of lifts you up and encourages you, but it also is the condition of our world where they are. So listen to the words. You may believe in evolution. You may think that God is dead. You may not believe in Calvary. You may think his returning is only in our head, but there'll come a day that you just won't believe.
What you gonna do when the graves are bursting open? What you gonna do when the saints all start to fly? What you gonna do when you're one day late for hoping? What you gonna do when the Christians say goodbye?
Well, you may think we're phony, under some kind of spell, when we pray, it's just a waste of time. You may think we're crazy, that it's just a fairy tale, but when Gabriel blows, it's gonna blow your mind.
What you gonna do when the graves start bursting open? What you gonna do when the saints all start to fly? What you gonna do when you're one day late for hoping? What you gonna do when the Christians say goodbye? What you gonna do when the graves start bursting open? What you gonna do when the saints all start to fly? What you gonna do when you're one day late for hoping? What you gonna do when the Christians say goodbye? What you gonna do when the Christians say goodbye?
Yeehaw!
Praise God. Do you feel a little country now? Amen. Encore, yeah. As long as they're not cores of the apples. Hallelujah. God is such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God. And I'm looking forward to that day when we shall be with him. And it's good to talk about it in church. I think that this is a subject that we've kind of put aside for a while in light of living for today. We often don't think about what's happening in the future. And I think that we have to get back to the place that one day we're going to be with Jesus. I don't place my value in this world, even though we're here for a time. And this is not where I'm hanging my hat. My hat wants to be hung in another place. And it's called Glory Land, and so I'm waiting for that place. Thank you, John, for doing that song again, Days of Elijah. He asked me on the other day and said, is there any songs that we'd like for Sunday? I said, I know that you sang Days of Elijah last Sunday, but could we sing it again this Sunday? And they complied, and I'm very happy that they did, because I like that song. I'll be talking about Ezekiel in just a little while from now. But I like verse 2. It says, and these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. So I like that. And we needed to hear that this morning. Amen. Kids can head off to Sunday school. And I hope you come back at the end of the service. We are going to pray for the nation of Canada, and it's going to be a wonderful conclusion today. I mean, next Saturday is we're celebrating Canada Day, and why not at this time of the year pray for our nation of Canada? I want to show you a video clip at the end of the service, which is kind of remarkable of what's happening and obvious of what is happening in our country, in our land, and especially in our province of Ontario. So I believe that we need to see that, and at the end of the service to pray. At the end of the service, and I'm going to ask you right now, I would like to have three people pray, at least three people. I think that we need to pray for our federal government, we need to pray for our provincial government, and we need to pray for the churches across our land. So I would just like to ask you right now, and we're going to conclude by those three people standing over by the flag here, three people that as the Spirit of God convicts you right now at the end of the service. I'm going to ask if somebody would come up and pray for the federal government, pray for our provincial government, and pray for the churches across the land, that we could be like, as Ezekiel said, to declaring the word of the Lord. So get ready. If God lays it on your heart, when at the end of the service, I'm just going to say, those three people, come on up here to the Canadian flag right now. We're going to begin to pray. So I don't want anybody looking. You've already been laid on your heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. As I look at the Word of God, and as I'm going to conclude today about the end times, not saying I'm not going to pick it back up in the fall, but I'd like to do a little bit of a conclusion today before we get into a neat subject which the Lord has been laying upon my heart for the summer, and it's going to be interesting. But as I look at the Word of God, and as I read, especially from Matthew 24, where we've been quite often, and thinking about the last days, Jesus spoke these words of warning. He spoke these words of encouragement, yet to give us something to know about what was going to happen so that we're not left in the dark, so to say. Jesus has spoke these words of warning, and so I believe that you and I are warned. He has spoken. The Son of God has given us good advice. I like good advice. How about you? He's given us good advice for us as his church to follow, not only found in Matthew chapter 24, but all through the Gospels and really all through the Bible about the return of the Lord and the days of the Lord. It's always up to each one of us what we're going to do to respond to the Word. So go ahead, Amanda, put up the first one. Welcome to the end of the world. Joke. Come on, laugh. That's funny, Pastor. One day it will be. Amen? One day it will be the end of the world. Hallelujah. And we're all going to be involved. Everybody in this whole wide world will be involved in the end of the world. Some going up, some going down. Some don't know what's going to happen. So one day we will be. So we're going to pray in a little while for the government. It's always up to each one of us how we're going to respond to the Word. I was thinking, and I read two portions of Scripture this week. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 15. Now, Could I take this scripture verse just a little bit out of context? Would you allow me to do that this morning? Is that okay? You won't. I'm not saying heresy this morning. I'm not trying to get us into something here. But I just want to, as I was reading this verse, how many know that when you read the Word of God, sometimes things come to you which make you think about something? And it may be completely, totally out of the context of what that word has to say. But as I was reading that this week in Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 15, I was thinking of it totally out of context from where it was, because Ezekiel is a fantastic book, very visionary, this prophet of God. But he said, the sword is outside and the pestilence and the famine within. Now, they were talking about the city, about how battling was going on outside the city. That's the context it was in. And inside the city, there's all the pestilence and the famine and all that. And as I was thinking about the inside of our lives, inside there's like a pestilence and a famine. And as I started thinking about these things, about what goes on inside of us, and that's where all the war is in our lives, is on the inside. What happens in there, what we think about, what we feel about, and all those things. There's a real, real battle going on inside, and we prayed about that on Friday night last week, that we're in a spiritual battle. And so as I looked at that, the sword is outside, the pestilence and famine within. Whoever is in the field will die by the sword, and whoever in the city, famine and pestilence will devour him. I don't want to get devoured by the battlefield that's going on in my heart and my spirit. Amen? So a little bit out of context, but yet this is what I felt when I read it. But then I went to Amos, and God said here through the prophet Amos, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Famine. Pestilence and famine within. Hearing the words of the Lord. I really liked our daily bread today. I talked about the power of the Word and raising our families in the Word, and Deuteronomy chapter 6, and ever keeping the Word of God before us and our families, and just to really center in upon the Word of God. I was reading it in that book I showed you a couple weeks ago by Chuck Colson, and he said some really interesting things. I know he died 3 years ago, but yet there's some real profound things that he had to say in his book. And he was really comparing about society and the lack of the Word of God, and even approaching to the place of going into the thought of having churches where we're no longer getting into the Word of God where we should be. In fact, Chuck Colson says this: today there's a loss of understanding of deeply rooted principles and concepts. Isn't that right? Society has deteriorated and left with absolutely very little of any standards. I agree with that. How about you? He said this: a few decades ago, our society once held values that seemed to permeate our lives. Today, there is very little of any values. In fact, values have gone by the wayside, and basically anything goes. That's true. I mean, if you're alive in this world today in 2017, you know and understand that this is truth, what he's saying. And I love listening to Ravi Zacharias, a really profound teacher and apologist who really delves into the place of being able to refute with those who come against the gospel and really give some good arguments. But Rabbi Zacharias said this, and he speaks to the fact that what is morally right is only in the eyes of whom the standard comes from. What is morally right only comes from the eyes of whom that standard comes from. So he says, so we are seeing society with a multitude of standards, and everyone thinks they are right. In other words, God and His Word are no longer in society as a base for our standard, because everything is right. All moral values are right. And Chuck Colson, as I was reading his book, he gives us two examples of how society has changed. In June of 1940, Hitler's armies were poised to destroy the cornered British army and stranded on the beaches of Dunkirk. As the British people anxiously await word of their fate, a three-word message was transmitted from the besieged army: end if not. End if not. See, the British public instantly recognized that message, those three words, end if not, a reference to the words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they stood before King Nebuchadnezzar. and they were about ready to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Oh, King, you know, even if you say so to bow down, we will not do that. And we know that God can deliver us. And if not, we will not bow down. We are His." So that message taken from the Bible came to a people who still had some semblance of the Word of God in their lives. And people back in 1940, when they heard those three words, they automatically went to that scripture. Isn't that amazing? You know, 70 years ago. Well, fast forward from 1940 to January 2001, the USA had a newly elected President George Bush, who delivers his inaugural address, but commenting on it was Dick Meyer of CBS News, who confessed, "There were a few phrases in the speech I just didn't get. One was, when we see that wounded traveler on the road to Jericho, we will not pass to the other side." That was from George Bush in his inaugural address. And this guy from CBS News says, "I hope there's not a quiz." In other words, this went right over his head. He couldn't understand exactly what President Bush was saying when he brought forth the scriptures. And Chuck Colson concluded, "What a difference 6 decades and maybe now 7 decades. For centuries, biblical references were the common ways of Western speech, that for 1940 in Dunkirk, citizens were so steeped in the scriptures that they immediately recognized a cryptic biblical allusion. But today that memory has been erased. We are living in a society today that knows very little, if anything, about the Word of God." I agree that society out there knows nothing about the Word of God, basically very little knowledge of who God is, nor His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is almost a forgotten person in our society. And may I add, one day, every knee will bow. And I like that song we sang this morning. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And then, if they don't know Jesus now, they will know Him at that moment when He comes. Yes, there's a famine of the Word, a famine of the hearing of the Word, and let it not permeate our lives nor this church. Can you say amen? We do not want to have a lack in our life of the Word of God. We do not ever want to go there in our lives of having that lack of the Word of God. Let us be a people of the Word. Amen? People of the Word. Let it captivate us, lead us, talk to us, speak to us, show us, demonstrate to us. Let it lead us. Let it be our reference point. Let it be our balance. Let it be everything to us in our lives. Balance. That's what we saw in that sign the other day. What was it said, Betty? It said life. I always like people put on the front lawns these little cliches and words. Yeah, said life is only good when it's in a balance or balanced life or something like that. I can't remember. Anyway, sorry, you got to come up to my neighborhood to read the sign, get the words if you really want to get that. But as the words of Paul sounded forth to the church in Corinth and also to us, he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." In other words, keep going. Keep strong. Keep in the Word. Keep doing what we know is right. Keep doing what we know is best for us in our life. And as Christians, you and I think that the day and age that you and I are living in, somehow, I don't know about you, but I'm sensing the return of the Lord is very soon. I sense that. I feel it. It's in my spirit. I look around this world and all the stuff that's happening, it's just feeling like God could come back at any time. And as I've said before, living close to the railroad tracks up there on Pitt and Tollgate area, I don't know how you folks, but I hear that whistle when in the summertime we have the windows open, and every four times, right? Four times, every time. And every time I hear that horn blow on the train, I keep thinking, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, every time I hear that. And He's coming very soon. You know, I believe that we are definitely right now in a prelude to the end. We are in a prelude to the end. The intensity of all the world fairs, the breakdown society spiritually, and we're seeing that. The abomination of desolation is on the horizon. The Jewish people, and thinking of where they are right now, and the great tribulation, the Antichrist, the spirit of Babylon that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, everything around us, and it's ready to take its toll when God's wrath begins to pour out on planet Earth, and it will all start when God says it's going to start. And closer to home in our own country, we're seeing the extreme come to pass. As I read the news, see things on the internet, rules and regulations, government ordinances that are in all intents and purposes attacking the family, marriages, the genders, the Christians, and the church. And really, the bottom line of it all is they're attacking God Almighty and His standard, which He set for this whole wide world, that creation. That's what is under attack. At the end of the service today, I want us to join together in prayer. And by the way, as I was, this National House of Prayer in Toronto has instigated this, getting everybody to pray on today, June 25th, and churches, they've called churches to begin praying today, and pray for our government provincially and federally in the churches. And by last week, the start of last week, they said that now 150 churches, they just asked churches to email if they want to participate. And so I emailed in and said, we're going to participate on June 25th. They had 150 churches by last Monday. That's pretty good. 150 years old in our country, 150 churches. They may have a lot more by now, I'm not sure, but I thought that was pretty significant. There's 150 churches that will be joining with us today praying for our nation of Canada. That's a pretty good wave going up to the nostrils of God, saying that the churches want to see something happen in this land of Canada that would bring back the Word of God. I think it would be wonderful to line up together with all those in unity and all of us praying with one voice, God save our land, God keep our land. God do something wonderful in the land of Canada. Amen? So we're living in the last days, the prelude to the last days. We discussed the abomination of desolation. We have discussed the great tribulation. We have discussed the Antichrist. Who is it, by the way? Nobody knows. A lot of people say Donald Trump. Didn't they say that about Obama? Didn't they say that about George Bush? Didn't they say that about everybody who comes along who's a leader in the world? They just keep calling everyone Antichrist. I want to let you know there won't be any uncertainty when Antichrist comes along. But there's going to be an Antichrist. And the spirit of Babylon is already around us that permeates the society. And the spirit of Antichrist, as John says in his letters, preparing the world for the end times. The assault is on God. The attack is on God. The battle is against God, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you walk for Him, you are in the battle. If you speak for Him, you are in the battle. The assault is on God. And as I was reading in Daniel chapter 8, I really enjoyed our study a couple of years ago on Daniel, but this is really significant, I think, for the day and age that you and I are living in Daniel chapter 8. And I'm just bringing you some scriptures to refresh your mind, but make you think about the end times, because it's all prophesied. It's been all spoken about and shown us in the Word of God. And Daniel says here, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, in chapter 8, verse 23 to 25, in the latter part of their reign, when rebels have been completely wicked, and of course this is talking about the last days, a stern-faced king, I believe that that's Antichrist, a master of intrigue will arise. And I'm reading from the NIV version. He will become very strong, but not by his own power, because Satan will be standing behind him, pushing him, prodding him, giving him the power. He will cause astounding devastation, and he will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior. When they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the Prince of Princes. The assault is on God, against the Prince of Princes. Yet, he will be destroyed, but not by human power. Wow. The condition of the nation of Israel had gone down, 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 and they turned their backs on God, and God allowed them to turn their back on Him. Isn't that amazing, God's amazing grace? I mean, you want to sing songs for God? Go ahead and do that. You want to read the Word of God? Go ahead and do that. You don't have to do that. He's not twisting your arm to come to church or do anything that He said in the Word of God. You don't have to be water baptized. You don't have to be saved. You don't have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to. Isn't that wonderful that God has given you a free will? You are allowed your choices in this world, but God has put in something wonderful, wonderful before us, and how grateful we are when we find that pearl of great price and we stumble upon the salvation that God has offered to us and our eyes are finally open and we find Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. What a wonderful gift that God has given us, according to Ephesians chapter 2, the gift of salvation that God gives us. It's not something you have to work for, pay for, or do anything else for. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and you will be saved. A gift of salvation. Isn't that wonderful? So let's not mess around with that gift either, because God has given us the choices. And when anyone does what they want to do, the amazing grace of our God allows them to do that. Why? To see that in the end, our ways really accomplish nothing. How many have found that out in this world? That when we do our own thing, they really don't accomplish anything anyway. But they sometimes, probably most of the time, will only take us deeper into trouble. Similar to what God said through Paul in Romans chapter 1, that God gave them up. Just gave them up. Hey, you want to do that? I give you up to all the things that you want to do. God gave them over to their own desires, their own whims, their own lusts of life. And surely we must know that when we walk with the Lord in the light of the Word and His ways, that our life, even though troubles will come, we will find a blessed assurance in the midst of it all and know the deep grace of God's amazing grace upon our lives. And God will always speak to the circumstances of our life, peace be still. Amen? Don't we prefer doing God's will over doing our own will? Don't we prefer living for Jesus as opposed to living for ourselves? How about you? Amen? Don't go to sleep on me now, okay? See, I personally have tested the Lord. I'm sure that many of you have done that as well, if not all of you. But I've tested the Lord in my life over the years. And I wanted to try out the Word of God. I mean, if this is what the Word of God says, I wanted to try it out. I wanted to find out if God's Word says this, that I can see that every problem I go through, every circumstance of my life, that if God is going to speak peace be still to my life and my circumstances, I wanted to try it out. I mean, that's just something I think that everybody wants to do. It's like, you know, I had a real problem many years ago in tithing. When I work for Bell Canada and I make $800 a week and I think I have to pay $80 a week, 10% of that, I thought, that $80, what can I do with $80 every week? Man, there's a lot of things I could buy, and to actually give God $80, that was pretty tough stuff to get into my mind and my heart to be able to tithe. And so I started trying God out in this, just like Malachi says, test me and see. So I started tithing for the Lord. I made sure, and some people over the years have come and asked me, Pastor, should I tithe on the net or the gross? What does the government take off, the net or the gross? So shouldn't we go to the gross, just like the government does? Don't wait till all the deductions come off there. Oh, yeah, there's $50 here, $80 here. And from an $800 paycheck, maybe you're down to $600 and some dollars. Oh, that's what I'll tithe. That's a little easier. Tithe from the gross. So I began to try God out in that area. And something happened, you know, that in, as I began to give for God, I found out that our finances were blessed. Everything, it just seemed like everything was going our way. You know, you go out somewhere and you're looking in your pocket because you're at a restaurant and you don't know how you're going to pay for this one. All of a sudden, somebody says, don't worry about it, I'll pay for this one. What? You know, and you go to different places, all of a sudden you receive back and you're getting from the Lord, but all of a sudden I realize I'm getting all the time, I need to give more. And so I go to a restaurant and pay for somebody, but all of a sudden I realize that something happened for me as well, my finances. I tested God in this area, and it's great. If you're not tithing today, go ahead and test the Lord. Amen. Test the Lord. Try Him out, and you'll see your finances are going to get blessed. Some people don't know how to pray. I've tested God in this. You know, Jesus' disciples said, teach us how to pray, Lord. So I started asking God, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to pray. And as I was very afraid one time. I remember I sat with John Howitt, John and Dorothy Howitt, just a brand new Christian. We went to a restaurant, and of course, when this guy led me to the Lord, he was always praying over the food, and of course, you know, you just accept that. All of a sudden, one day we were sitting in the restaurant, and he says, Russ, how be you pray over the food today? I think my heart stopped, and I looked around the restaurant. Somebody's going to see me praying. You know, I was so inhibited, so afraid. And so I prayed, God bless this food. And there we go. That was it. That was my first prayer. God bless the food. That was it. You know, isn't that a wonderful start to praying? The Word started. Then I said, God bless this food and help us in our day. And it started. It started going. As I began to exercise the prayer language, as I began to exercise that faith in prayer, I found that I was praying longer and longer. Then we used to go to the church and pray. Remember in Ottawa, we used to go to pray. We would pray there for hours. I can remember, they say a few years ago, the people started laughing in the spirit in the 90s or whatever. I can remember Russ Paquette and me, we were howling on the floor and God just blessed and God just laughing away and rolling and on the floor. I guess that's where we got the holy rollers from, I don't know. But I tell you, the more I prayed, the more I got blessed in God. The more I prayed, the more I wept, the more I saw things that God wanted to do in our lives. And in prayer, that's where God really put his finger upon my life to call me into the ministry. So God does things in prayer. If you're not praying, you get to praying. Amen? If you're not reading God's word, how can you ever know the heart of God? I mean, I could send Betty a nice Valentine card on February 14th, and she's, oh, that's nice. I'll just put it in the pile with the rest of them. She won't ever know what I had to say to her. She won't ever know the mushy, gushy stuff that I said and the kisses and all those little things, X's and O's on the bottom of my card. And she won't know any of those things because she never opened it. And we walk to church and we have a Bible and everything else. But if we never open it, we don't know the heart of God. What his heart is saying to us. And I love this morning the scriptures and that song at the end. That was so powerful, just to bring the word of God out. Even though you may not have read the word of God this morning, you got a little bit of the word of God or in the worship team. And that was wonderful, wonderful. We need the word of God. So try out God. Begin to read the word of God. If you're not reading the word of God, get into the word of God. Amen. When we are obedient to the word and not hearers only, something will happen to us in our lives. It's like when you get to the scriptures, the more you learn from the word of God, like learning how to deny yourselves and picking up your cross and following Jesus, something wonderful is going to happen when you start following God's word. It always will. And in all of that, that when we begin to see ourselves doing something in the form of ministry work, we become energized to perhaps find that purpose for our life in Christ. It's good to work for Jesus, isn't it? It's good to work for Jesus, isn't it? In other words, isn't it worth it? Worth it. Living full steam ahead for Jesus in our lives. Hallelujah. I like what Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 said. This is John speaking to the seven churches. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He was thanking God for salvation in that very statement. So, end times. I love speaking about the end times. I'm kind of saddened because I'm going to put it up for the summer, but I'm going to pick it back up maybe in September. All depends on the leading of the Holy Spirit. But I like to end the series of the last days in this summer and to take us to a vision of revival. How many love revival? I love revival. Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 14 says, I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not hold back, nor will I spare, nor will I relent. According to your ways and according to your deeds, they will judge you, says the Lord God. So, a vision of revival. Would you go with me to Ezekiel chapter 37? I'm sure you've read this many, many, many times. The Valley of Dry Bones. This is a portion of Scripture that is an enhancement about revival. It's a vision of revival. It's an opening up from the Word of God about revival. And shout at me when you get to Ezekiel chapter 37 because I'm not putting the scriptures up. I'm not putting the scriptures up. No, not today. Beginning at verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me. Doesn't that feel good when the hand of the Lord comes upon you? And brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and let me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very, very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. I hope to hear a noise soon. A noise. And suddenly, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, I mean, that's the understatement. If you were to see this, would your eyes not be popping out? Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over them over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet as exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for Ezekiel and the obedience to write this down. Thank you for the eyes of this prophet that were opened. Thank you, Lord God, for this reading of this word this morning in 2017 on June 25th. Thank you for your word of God that it didn't die 2,000 years ago, but it is alive today. The word of God is alive today and speaking to us. Lord, let us hear. Let us be doers of the word, not only hearers, but doers of the word of God. And let something transpire in our hearts today. I feel this morning, Lord God, and as I was standing worshiping and singing songs this morning, I felt like you were putting upon my heart that somebody is struggling in their faith in this congregation. I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that whoever is struggling, if one person or many people are struggling right now with the identification of knowing Jesus Christ and going deeper, I pray that through their struggles they will see Jesus high and lifted up, and that you will bring them from their valley to a mountaintop, and that they would see Jesus in a greater way than they've ever seen before. So God, I thank you for this morning's service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The world, I believe, could be looking for God. Do you believe that? I believe in a sense the world could be looking for God, but tragically and ironically, they're looking in all the wrong places for God. Sadly, as the world is looking for God, it would be terrible for God's people to be asleep in the church. Isn't that right? That would be sad when somebody's looking for God to be a Christian and to be asleep and not be vigilant for the days that you and I are living in. And as the Word of God says, to be sober and vigilant, because we're living in those kinds of days. Could I say this today? It is time for revival. It is time for revival. Whatever we put into something is exactly what we get out of it. Isn't that right? I believe the scripture is talking about sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Whatever we put into something, that's what we're going to get back. In other words, we get what we pay for. Are you with me? We get what we pay for. I believe that many want revival, but many want revival without paying for it. Are you getting what I'm saying? We want to see it. Oh, God, bring revival. But what can we do to see that revival happen around us? You know, if we want revival, if we want to see people in our family saved, there's going to be a payment that we have to do. There's got to be something that you and I do. I'm not talking about financial money that we're going to have to pay, but we're going to have to do something. Like, you know, if you want to pray for your family, then we have prayer meetings. Show up for prayer. I mean, if you want to see something happen, then do the work that the Lord wants you to do. The world needs to know the how to come to God. They want to know, how do we do it? How do we come to God? They want to know how to come to God and how to worship Him. They don't know. I mean, have you ever gone into, I remember many years ago, I went into a Pentecostal church for the first time. And I was used to my old stately United Church in Oshawa, where you just lifted your hand to open the hymnal, put it down, walked out of church, and then you could live again. Whew, got out of that one. But first time I went to a Pentecostal church, and Betty took me to Stone Pentecostal Church in Toronto, and the people running down the aisles and everything else. I looked at Betty. I said, Betty, get me out of here. Are you sure it's not 99 Queen Street, the loony bin? You know, I didn't know where I was because I didn't know how to worship. I didn't know what God does for us in our life when we worship Him. You know, I heard a story a few years ago about every time somebody said something about legs, give us legs to get out there into the community, this guy stood up in a church, went run around the church. And everybody goes, what's this guy running around the church for? Like, you know, every time the pastor would say this key word in the church, this guy would get up and run around the church. They didn't know this guy was lame for quite a few years. And God gave him back his legs, and he could walk, he could run, and everything else. And every time he heard that, God, give us legs to go to our community, he would get up and tear around the church and just be thankful for that wonderful blessing and miracle that God had given him. Thank God. You know, the world needs to know that God is a blessing to us. God will send miracles our way. God will pour into our lives and our families. And the world needs to know that. They need to hear that. They need to see that all around us. They need to know how to worship God. The world needs to recognize the voice of God. They don't know the voice of God. They know all the voices out there, but they don't know the voice of God. They need to come to hear the voice of God. Amen? The world needs to have Christianity modeled to them. They don't know what Christianity is. They need to know what Christianity is all about. They need to see something different. It's called authentic Christian living. They need to see what a Christian's all about. What do you live? How do you talk? How do you go through things? I love it when I get around people that know I'm a pastor and reverend, and all of a sudden, watch your language. They somehow know there's a little bit to do, watching the language, but I like to be able to take that bad language out of there and put in the good language about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Betty and I were sitting at Tim Hortons the other day, and there was a man using Jesus' name. And I looked at Betty, I said, the guy must be a Christian. Kept using the name Jesus. And then another couple of guys were beside us, and they were French. And all I could hear was sacrament, tabernacle. I said to Betty, you know what? They come from a church, and sacrament, isn't that the sacraments? When we come and we partake of the bread and the cup of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these guys are sitting there so loose in their living and using these words and you know, just hitting the I know they're probably Catholic. They're just hitting the church. All these words are using tabernacle, sacrament, and they're saying all these things against the church. I don't think the world knows anything about our God, or they wouldn't be doing such a thing. I think that you and I need to model to the world that there's something different. Why? Because we are living in a day of haphazard Christianity and give and take and little commitment and dedication. I think in a way the world is looking for something, but Christians aren't standing up and showing. Was that an ouch or was that an amen? I think in a way the world associates Christianity with the church. I was asking Betty the other day, was it yesterday? I said, you know, you think of church and Christian. Right? The world would put the two together, wouldn't they? Like, you know, if you're a Christian, you go to church. And I'm reading this interesting book right now. I really encourage you to get this. It's called Spread the Fire. It's a really interesting book. It's an Assemblies of God pastor. And as a matter of fact, it's two pastors. There's one good pastor in here. His name is John Bates. co-authored this book, and Scott Wilson as well. But they talked about how they were raised in Pentecost in the church, and how Sunday morning service and Sunday school, the hour, you know, when they all the ages were taught, and then they have the Sunday morning service, and then they go home for the Pentecostal nap, and they come back for the evening service. He said the morning service was really for those who dabbled in Christianity, and they came out because they're watching their watch and said, "Pastor, you know, it's 12 o'clock, you know, we've got to get out, going to go to our favorite restaurant, got to do this, got to do that." And so he says Sunday morning services many years ago were just for those who were kind of dabbling in Christianity. But the Sunday evening service was for those who really wanted to get deeper in God, and they had what they called evangelistic services, where the pastors would get up and preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They preach on the coming of the Lord. They preach on the end times. They would preach on just about anything you can think of, but it was evangelistic. And they would go to altars and spend a lot of time at the altars and wait upon God and spend time in prayer and just have great time seeking God. And you could go into long hours. I can remember in Havelock, we used to almost hit midnight. That was back in the early 90s. That's how far we've come. And he talks about, you know, how where's the church today? Because now we really only have one service on a Sunday, and then it's kind of give and take. Shall I go to church or shall I not go to church? Shall I do this or not do this? Now, the world looks at church and looks at Christian, and well, this Christian doesn't go there. This Christian says they love Jesus, but they don't go there. The world is putting two and two together, and guess what? You and I are causing them a stumbling block. Wow. Was that an ouch? The world needs to see what a Christian is. Sold out, deep in love with God. You can't keep me from the house of God. You can't keep me from the prayer meetings. You can't keep me from Bible study. You can't keep me from anything. I like what Daniel said last week. One of these days, this place is going to be filled, packed up, and they're lined up outside the doors. Amen? But what are we going to do? You get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. See, the world needs to be known and to be taught that seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is how all things will be added to them. Seek first the kingdom of God. But with all those needs of the world around us, maybe there's also a great need for the church today. It's time for revival. Lord, send a revival. Start the work in me. Have you heard that one? What we need is the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is free. Lord, fill my cup. I lift it up to as full as it can be. Lord, send a revival. Start the work in me. You ever heard that chorus? Anybody? No? Anne has? Nobody else? Beautiful old chorus. You know, the nation of Israel was carried off into captivity, held against their will, slaves to another, and maybe that is a good description not just for Israel, but maybe even for the church today. What are we held slaves to? Are we, as what Paul says, bondservants to the Most High God, or is it a mixture to the world, word and the world? Think about that for a moment. Perhaps what Amos prophesied, there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord back then, and today there could be a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord, and that famine could go deep outside the church and really inside the church as well. How can we communicate to the lost what we ourselves have shelved somewhere else? How can we tell them something that we put on a shelf and just put aside for the time because we're having a good time in this world? Maybe we are in need in a deep, deep revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe even greater. Maybe we need a revival in the churches across this land of Canada. Amen? Let me take you back. I was reading this in I can't remember one of the books, and it's got a couple of little blurbs, and I wanted to put this up for you because this scripture, we know this portion of scripture, but it says that from 2 Chronicles, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain or command the locusts to devour the land or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Now this person put in there, could the church today be too proud? The church should not lead by outstanding people, but by kneeling people, and pray and seek my face. We must hunger for God more than for food, entertainment, or self-satisfaction, and turn from their wicked ways, not halfway, but each one of us must repent, confess, be baptized, and be restored. And then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. I love that. God will bring revival to our land. Do you believe that? It's time for revival. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 4 to 6, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. This is God instituting and investing in a revival back in those days, which he wants to do, I believe, with all my heart today in 2017. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you, and I will cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Notice that come to life is there twice. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Church, it is time for revival. It is time for revival. And God gives us a great visual aid of revival because we need to see something tangible at times and to know that it's possible that God could bring a revival upon us, right? And Ezekiel, this man of God, confronted with a congregation of God's people who, as we read in there, they lost their hope, they lost their drive, they lost their vision. You read it down in verse 11. They were displaced. They were spiritually dead. They're in captivity. They don't know what's coming up next. They're lost and they're under King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. The circumstances were ripe for revival. I believe right now in Canada, we are ripe for revival. We are ripe for a revival. I believe that we are for today. See, God took Ezekiel to that place and gave him a visual aid of revival. How many like visual aids? Yeah, I used to like people who would draw things on a board and they would paint out the whole subject of salvation, the heart of God and the cross, and they would put all these things there. You didn't need to hear a word, all you did, and you saw it. But God gave Ezekiel a profound vision here of basically, here, Ezekiel, I'm going to take you down, put you down this cemetery. It's basically what he's doing. Putting him down in a cemetery, then he looked all around and he says, wow, all I see is dead people. All I see is people who are not doing anything, like they're all dead, like they're just bones there. There's nothing upon them. They can't say anything. They can't do anything. They're just dead bones lying there, dry, dead, dry, 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 dry bones. And then we read later that in the verse, it's symbolic of the condition of the nation of Israel. This is like Israel that's taken off into captivity. They've lost their hope. They've lost everything, their drive to do anything for God. So God asks, as you look at the nation of Israel, as you look at them off into captivity, so God asked Ezekiel the question, can these bones live? Can Israel come back? What do you think? Can the church come alive? Can the church get back into its first love? Can the church get back to what the church is supposed to be doing in our community? And God asks the question today, what do you think? What do you think, Ezekiel? Can God do it? Can God's people do it? Really? I mean, as you look at this, it was one of those dual fulfillments of back in those days. And I really believe that one of these days, and we're seeing fragments of it right now, that God is bringing back a lot of Jewish people to the land of Israel. we're seeing them coming back in dribbles and coming into that land, and people are going back to the little state of Israel. Can you hear the same question, though, today as you look at what's happened back in those days, that calling of home to Israel, of all those dispersed Jews? Can you still hear the same question today over churches? Will you come back? Will you come back? Here's God's solution to the graveyard of dead bones. You know, that God's going to do something great and powerful in Ezekiel, and he talks about those great things. You know, Ezekiel gives us great things. These bones are the whole house of Israel, and the application is alive in us today. See, I enjoyed the message last week with Daniel when he was here, Daniel the evangelist. You remember those four letters he gave us? F, T, P, H. This side's doing well. How about this side? I really enjoyed that message. But he talked about, you know, the walls were broken down, or back in those days, many years ago, that a city would have a wall around them. And he talked about Cornwall, how we don't have any walls physically, but we have spiritual walls. And we need to pray those walls back up and to bring the hope and the future and the purposes and the plans of God back into the community of Cornwall and all the surrounding areas. As you look at this, you know, they had under Solomon all this memory now of what Solomon had said. All they had were memories. All they had was, remember what it used to be like and all these things. It was cast off, and they were just, you know, as you think about it, when we go down in our Christianity, this is a profound statement, but death kills. Isn't that right? Death kills. Death kills. How does that sound to you? Death kills. When death comes to a nation, and even to a church, it will take a toll upon its members. You know, I was thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know how it talks about every person is a member and a part of the body of Christ. One is a hand, one is a foot, one is an ear, one is an eye, and all that. Can you imagine? This is what God has designed the church to be in operation. That one would be the hand, one would be the foot, one would be the eye, one would be the ear, one would be this, one would be that. And as you think of, that's how the church functions. Isn't that right? Now, if you think of the body of Christ, that we need one another, that's what the point was to get across. We need one another. What would happen if the hand said, I don't think I want to live around this anymore, and start shriveling up? And what happens if the other hand just closes up and says, not going to do that anymore? And what happens if the eye, that's okay, I don't feel like that anymore, starts covering up? What would happen to the church as each member begins to die a slow death and to look other places and to do other things? You know, the fully functioning church could cease and desist. Sad words to say, but how many know churches are in need for revival? Do you know that? I mean, you just go into any church and you hear people saying it, you know, they're just not like it used to be. The prayer meetings aren't like they used to be. This isn't like it used to be. And services aren't like they used to be. How many know that churches all across our land, if not around the world, are in need of revival? You know, some of the churches in the third world countries, they're putting us to shame. They just believe for miracles. They stay there all day long. They could care less about what the clock is. It's terrible how we get so driven by time. But the hardest part of Ezekiel's task at this time was to try and revive the spirit of the nation of Israel, to try and get them to understand. I mean, this is a vision for Ezekiel. Now, he's got this vision, he's got the word of God, and he's got to go back to the people of Israel and get this across to them. Now, that's a hard job to do, isn't it? Have you ever got a vision and try to share it with somebody else? Not easy, is it? People look at you and say, well, that's nice. I'm glad you got a vision and all that. That's good for you. But that's not what it's all about. You know, if only the exiles could be brought to believe that Israel had a future, if only they could understand that God has got a future and plans and purposes and a hope for this nation of Israel, something would happen. You know, I put up there, even if, as I said before, that scripture about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mercy Me. Anybody ever heard of a group called Mercy Me? Mercy Me, they've written some beautiful songs over the years. If you ever listen to the countdown, 20 of the countdown, they always put the 20 top songs of Christianity on 20 countdown. Anyway, this song was number one for, I think, several weeks. And usually when you make it to number one in the Christian world of songs, they have you come on and explain why you wrote that song. And he's the lead singer from Mercy Me said, you know, many of us as Christians are confronted in our life with all the troubles that we go through and the circumstances of life, and they try to bring us down and all that. And sometimes we're bowing to all those things and the circumstances of life, and we give way to it instead of standing and rising up to those things. And he said, you know, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, he said, they were a real treasure to me from the Word of God as I looked at the Word of God and as they were faced with a fiery furnace. I mean, we're not faced with a fiery furnace every day of our life, but we go through tragedies and trials and troubles and all those things. But here's this fiery furnace, and they even stoked it up seven times hotter because they wouldn't bow down to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had put up there. And so they stand there and, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to your majesty that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Can you imagine those words? Fighting words. Believing in God. You know, we as Christians need to get back to that same place in our lives and in society, with government, with the things that are happening around us. But even if he doesn't, I will stand for God. And so they put these words into a song, and it's really good. If you get a chance to listen to that song, it's called Even If, and it's a beautiful, beautiful song. Israel, they renounced their reliance on God, and instead of trusting in God, the nation relied totally on Assyrian forces. They said, okay, feed us, look after us, we'll be your slaves, we'll do all those things. And Assyria was the only too happy to comply with them and make them their slaves. You know, so often we are too happy to comply with the ways of this world and become slaves to the world. We need to turn around and ask God for revival in our land, in our churches. Amen? Would the worship team come, please? I believe that it will be the same in the last days for the nation of Israel. When the Antichrist comes in and signs the peace treaty with Israel, I believe there's going to be so many people that are very happy to comply. Sounds good. Let's sign on the dotted line. Let's come into that peace treaty, and the Antichrist will dupe Israel into a false peace, and they'll be taken in. They'll be taken in. Let me give you one last thing. Anybody ever heard of Jim Cimbala, pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle down in New York City? These are some words that he wrote a few years ago. How long has it been in many of our churches since God did awesome things that we didn't expect? What stops us today from drawing a line in the sand and setting our hearts toward God in fervent prayer that he will come and revive his work in us as well as in our churches? Why don't we stop rationalizing and justifying the spiritual impotence all around us? Why not rather humble ourselves and seek God with all our hearts for something from heaven? Amen. So we are going to pray for our government. And three people are going to go up here by the flag. And just before those three people go up, I want to show you a little ad, 15-second long, that came out from our Ontario government just recently. And you will look at this, and this shows you how the world of the government is looking upon children in this land. So sound up. Amanda, are you ready?
Nowhere to go. At ontario.ca/healthcare options.
You don't like kids? Birth control. That's quite the ad, isn't it, from my Ontario government? Three people. Come on. Would you take the mic over to three people, honey. I want somebody to pray for our federal government. We're going to have a prayer meeting now. I want somebody to pray for our provincial government. You just saw one of their ads, what they're putting out into a society, showing that kids are annoying. Kids are disgusting. Why have kids? Use birth control. Don't have kids around you. They're annoying and disgusting. That's the way our entire government is looking at children these days. That's the world they're trying to push into our homes, into our land. And we need to come back and combat these kinds of things that God wants to do. Two other people. Come on. Two other people. Surely you've got a heart for this land of Canada. Surely you can stand up here and say some words. I'm not asking you to wax eloquent, but I want you to pray for something. Hallelujah. One more person. Come on. Hallelujah. So one of you is going to pray for Ontario government. One of you is going to pray for the churches. One of you is going to pray for the federal government. Who's going to pray federal government?
I'm going to pray for the churches.
You're going to pray churches? So between you two? Adam? Diane? Which one? Federal government? Go for it. Give the microphone to Adam there. He's going to pray. Would you stand with me this morning? Is the microphone on? Yeah. Praise you, God.
Oh, dear God.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Father, I want to thank you for this privilege and this honor.
Jesus.
Lord, I just ask that you pour out your spirit.
Yes.
On this great country that we live
God.
In.
Jeez.
It's not a good place out there, Father. We know. We wake up, everything we see, everything we hear, it's just so easy to see that your word,
Jeez.
The heart,
oh God,
the heart of your spirit is not here.
Oh God.
How many times have we,
Jesus,
how many times have we just looked at what we see?
Hallelujah.
And just became so angry.
Jesus.
How much do we want to hear the people that you tell us to pray for our leaders?
Praise you, Jesus.
To pray for them.
Yes, God.
And how much do we want to see someone just...
Jesus.
Those values that you imprint in our hearts.
Praise you, God. Hallelujah.
Like how many times have we just stood still... Jeez. And just let these people just
Hallelujah.
Pass anything.
Oh.
Our children, like all these laws Jesus. That they pass that have nothing to do
Jesus.
With your word.
Hallelujah.
Go totally against you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
That your promises,
Amen.
That your spirit
Hallelujah.
Just Jesus. Runs over this country. And not just this country, the whole world. Father,
yes.
I pray that we see
praise you, God.
Exactly what you promised us. And that not
Hallelujah.
Only that, but that you equip us, Lord.
Yes.
Bring to our hearts. Bring
yes.
bring
oh,
forth
Jesus.
The leadership, the heart of your word in us. Bring it out so that we may
Jesus.
That we may
Jesus.
Just
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That we may see
Hallelujah.
Your works, not just in here in a church.
Jesus.
But out in the world.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How often do we want to see our
Jesus.
Our governments and our leaders? How often
Hallelujah.
Do we want to see them preach your word?
Yes. Hallelujah. Live by your
word.
And
take a stand for you
yes.
instead of bending
yes.
over to every
yes.
need and want that just doesn't belong.
Yes. Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Too often we're too liberal
Jesus.
With everything. you know, you bring order and you bring, and
Jeez.
When we really understand what it is that you Jesus. Give to us, it's Jesus. Something that we want. It doesn't feel, you make us feel free.
Hallelujah.
It's not like,
hallelujah,
we don't feel slaves Jesus. To you. We feel part of you.
Jeez.
Father, bring your kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Let your kingdom come on this country.
Yes,
let
amen.
Your will be done.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Cover this place. Cover our leaders in the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Because we know that.
Jesus.
We know that what you say is true and will come to pass. And
Hallelujah.
I just pray. We just pray Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Bless
Thank
our country.
God.
Bless
amen.
Our government.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Whoever's next, Diane. Or... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God.
Father God, we humble ourselves before you today.
Yes.
We know that we are nothing. Father, we know that we've
Jesus.
Been restricted in our minds. From doing what you desire us to do.
Hallelujah.
We know we've come under the circumstances rather than rising to the circumstances, like Pastor said.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Father God, we pray for
Hallelujah.
Our provincial government right now.
Thank you, God.
We just pray, Lord, that Hallelujah. We would be the witnesses that you desire us to be.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Father, we pray that you would open their eyes Hallelujah. To the truth. Lord, we pray that you would soften their hearts.
Jesus.
We know probably many of them are Christians also.
Jesus.
Maybe they've had training in their upbringing and they've left it beside them
yes.
or behind.
Oh, God.
And Father
us.
God, we pray that you would
Forgive
bring
us.
Back the backslider.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord God, we pray for
Hallelujah.
Our officials in this city and in this province.
Yes.
Lord God.
Hallelujah.
You've spoken to many people in the Old Testament and the New Testament, Lord. You've used them even without them knowing that you've used them. So, Father, we pray that you would break every chain, Lord. We pray that you would move through your Holy Spirit.
Yes, God.
Lord God, we pray that you would take every chain away from us.
Yes.
That we would serve you wholeheartedly.
Hallelujah.
We're weary.
God.
And we ask, we want to go to heaven, but we don't want to finish the battle.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Father God, no matter what happens
you,
in
God.
Our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies,
Jesus.
We pray that you would
Jesus.
Reign as the sovereign Lord.
Hallelujah.
We know that it's only by your Spirit, Lord,
Hallelujah.
That anything can be done.
Hallelujah.
So we humble ourselves now before you,
yes.
Lord God.
Jesus.
Forgive
Hallelujah.
Us for our sins.
Hallelujah.
Forgive
Hallelujah.
Us for our lack
Hallelujah.
Of initiative.
Jesus.
Father, like Pastor said, give us legs. Give us words.
Yes.
Give us thoughts from your Holy
Jesus.
Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Show us the way, God, for today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God.
And Lord, we pray that you would break us. We pray that you would break our comfort so that we would be desperate for you.
Yes. Yes, God. Hallelujah.
Father God, we pray for Cornwall.
Amen.
We pray for our leaders in Cornwall, Lord God. Show them the way. Show them that
yes,
you are
yes,
God.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Of Ontario.
Hallelujah.
That Jesus is Lord over Cornwall.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
God, have your
Hallelujah.
Way. Do your will.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Give us a vision, Lord, beyond ourselves.
Mm.
Because we are all caught
God.
In our minds and in our hearts
Jesus.
With our own small worlds.
Hallelujah.
Lord, give us a vision.
Jesus.
Help
Hallelujah.
Us not to perish, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We want your way. We want your will. We want your
Hallelujah.
Revival for your purposes,
yes,
Lord.
God. Hallelujah.
God, we honor you today. We worship you.
Jesus.
And we want you to be lifted high.
Hallelujah.
Show us your glory. Show us your goodness. And help
Hallelujah.
Us to display that as your servants.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Name.
Jesus. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Father, I come on behalf of your bride, oh God, of yes. Canada. Lord, yes. your church is your bride.
Yes.
And I'm going to come in repenting, Father,
thank
for your
you,
church.
Lord. Yes. Forgive
that sometime
us.
We don't always say
forgive
yes
us,
to you, Lord.
Forgive us.
Sometime, oh God, we just like just
forgive
to see
us,
everybody else's acting and
Jesus.
Serving, and it's okay.
Hallelujah.
Lord, forgive us.
Praise
sometime
you,
being complacency.
Thank you, Lord.
Forgive us, Lord. Sometimes
thank
we
you,
just
Lord.
Sometimes we just don't get up and do, oh God.
Jesus.
So, Father, on behalf of all the churches
Jesus.
Of your bride, oh God, I pray,
hallelujah.
Forgive us. Forgive
hallelujah.
Us our contemplation. Forgive us
hallelujah.
Our doubting. Forgive us sometimes just not want to be apart.
Jesus.
Just want to come to church and not be apart.
Jesus.
Lord, forgive us.
Oh, God.
This is your church, oh God. This is your bride,
hallelujah.
Oh God.
Hallelujah.
You are our Father
hallelujah.
In heaven. Forgive us,
Jesus.
Oh God.
Jesus.
I pray, Father, today
Jesus.
That the
hallelujah.
Church will rise up.
Amen.
I pray
amen.
Today
revive
that
us,
the
Lord.
Church will rise
revive
up against the enemy,
hallelujah.
Oh God, that is
hallelujah.
Destroying churches, oh God.
Jesus.
I pray today, Lord,
Jesus.
That the woman and man, oh God, will
Jesus.
Rise up and not
hallelujah.
Allow anymore to have our church being stolen from us, oh God.
Hallelujah.
I thank you, Father, that
hallelujah.
You're a godly Father,
hallelujah.
A holy Father, a Father
praise
that loves his
God.
Children. And Father, I pray, oh God,
hallelujah.
That each church that you would go and
Jesus.
Visit them, oh God, with your Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes, God.
That you put, you impart,
Jesus.
Oh God, more of your Spirit,
Jesus.
Oh God.
Hallelujah.
I pray for your church, oh God, that you
hallelujah.
Give them a hunger.
Hallelujah.
A hunger, oh God, more of you, oh God, to serve
yes,
you,
Lord.
To love you, Lord. I pray, oh God, give us
Jesus.
Give us that first love, oh God.
Yes.
Excite us again,
yes.
Oh Lord, in your Spirit,
hallelujah.
Oh God. Let us believe the unbelieve,
hallelujah.
Oh God. Let us believe
amen,
the things
amen.
That you could do in this house, oh God,
hallelujah.
In every house you have in Canada.
Jesus.
We thank you, Lord. We
hallelujah.
Thank you, God, because you could recreate, oh God. You could have miracles
Jesus.
Could be poured down. Healings,
hallelujah.
Oh God. This is all
hallelujah.
Ours to have because you
Jesus.
Say in your word in Jesus'
hallelujah.
Name. Now,
hallelujah.
I'd like us to all pray the same prayer. I like to say the Our Father together, right?
Yes.
So, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven.
Give
us
this
day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from all evil one. For yours is the
kingdom
and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Do you know this day on June 25th is the last day for the church in Alexandria under the PAOC. They're closing it down. And other churches have closed over the last little while. And every time I look at that, many years ago, somebody had a vision for that area of Alexandria. Somebody had a vision for a city or a rural area, and they put a church in there, and now churches are closing down, and people will be living there with no Pentecostal Spirit-filled work. And that's sad. We need to see in our land a rising up and a coming together of those bones and sinews and the greatness of God pouring in and the muscles and the bones coming to life and the breath coming back into it all across this land of Canada. We need to see revival. Need to see revival. So we're going to sing in conclusion our national anthem. And you know, every time I've been to the States and they sing the national anthem, I always see the Americans, they put their hand on their heart. Have you ever seen that? And we Canadians were so stately and strong and all like that. And I know it's nice to stand at attention and all that when the national anthem is going on. But if somehow this morning, maybe you want to keep your one hand at your side, maybe you want to lift it up, could you put one hand on your heart? Because I believe that this land of Canada, God wants to do something here in Canada. I believe with all my heart that God is going to bring revival into this land and let the churches rise back up. So let's sing this song this morning, our national anthem, O Canada. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love. rise, the true north, strong and free. From far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. God, King,
amen, our land. Hallelujah.
Glorious and free. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
Hallelujah. 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 Will we stand on guard?
Amen.
Will we stand on guard for our nation of Canada?
Amen.
It's in our lap. It's in our heart. It should be a drive from our life as we live for this wonderful nation of Canada to bring Jesus to our nation. Amen. We're going to go and have fellowship on this June 25th. We invite you to come over. Let me pray over the food so that when you get over there, you can just dig right in, okay? But we want you to come over and enjoy fellowship together and talk about revival. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. God, we are seeking after you for revival. God, as we read through the Word of God, we understand that the Word of God speaks to us. It shows us things. Lord, even as we look at our world right now, like the Word says, like sometimes we no longer blush over the things that are happening around us. No longer do we have this pleading of the breaking of a heart. But God, give us back the breaking of a heart. Let us blush over the things that we see around us that are not of you, Lord God. So we ask that, revive the church. Revive the church all across this land. And bless the church, Lord, so that we can spread the good news. Lord, as we have fellowship with each other this morning, Lord, let us talk about revival around the tables. Let us talk about what we can do to see that revival brought into our land. But God, give us a great time of fellowship. Bless the food. Thank you for the hands that have prepared it. And may we just rejoice in the God of our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless.